Sun Tan became aware of the feeling of woven cloth upon her body, and it was so unfamiliar that it brought her to the very threshold of consciousness. She thought that she lay upon something soft, but she knew that was impossible, as was the filtered light through green canvas. She was too tired to ponder these things, and when she tried to keep her eyelids open, they drooped against her best efforts, and she became aware of her weakness. Her insides had been scooped out of her as though she were a soft-boiled egg, and only her brittle outer shell remained. The thought made her want to smile, but even that effort was too great, and she drifted away into that lulling darkness again. When next she became aware, it was to the sound of someone singing softly. She lay with her eyes closed and realized that she could understand the words. It was a love song, a lament for a girl that the singer had known before the war began. It was a man's voice, and she thought it was one of the most thrilling voices she had ever heard. She did not want the song to end, but suddenly it broke off, and the man laughed. "So you like that, do you?" he said in Afrikaans. And a child said, "Da, da," so loudly and so clearly that Santan's eyelids flew open. It was Shasa's voice, and every memory of that night with the lion in the Mapani came rushing back at her, and she wanted to scream again.
"My baby! Save my baby!"
And she rolled her head from side to side and found she was alone in a hut with thatched roof and canvas sides. She lay on a camp cot, and she was dressed in a long, cool cotton nightgown.
"Shasa!"
she called out and tried to sit up. She managed only a spasmodic jerk, and her voice was a dull, hoarse whisper.
"Shasa!"
This time she summoned all her strength.
"Shasa!"
And it came out as a croak. There was a startled exclamation, and she heard a stool clatter as it was overturned. The hut darkened as someone stepped into the doorway, and she rolled her head towards the opening. A man stood there. He was holding Shasa on his hip. He was tall with wide shoulders, but the light was behind him, so she could not see his face. "So, the sleeping princess awakes," that deep, thrilling voice. "At last, at long last." Still carrying her son, he stepped to the side of her cot and bent over her. "We have been worried," he said gently. And she looked up into the face of the most beautiful man she had ever seen, a golden man with golden hair and yellow leopard's eyes in his tanned, golden face. On his hip, Shasa bounced up and down and reached towards her.
"Mama, my baby."
She lifted one hand and the stranger swung Shasa off his hip and placed him beside her on the cot. Then he lifted Santan's shoulders and propped her into a sitting position with a bolster behind her. His hands were brown and strong, yet the fingers were as elegant as those of a pianist.
"Who are you?"
Her voice was a husky whisper, and there were dark smears below her eyes, the colour of fresh bruises. "My name is Lothar de la Rey," he answered, and Shasa clenched his fists and pounded his mother's shoulder in a gesture of overwhelming affection.
"Gently," Lothar caught his wrist to restrain him. "Your mama is not up to so much love, not yet."
She saw how Lothar's expression softened as he looked at the child.
"What happened to me?" Santan asked. "Where am I?"
"You were attacked and mauled by a lion. When I shot the beast, you fell out of the tree."
She nodded.
"Yes, I remember that, but afterwards..."
"You suffered concussion, and then the wounds from the lion claws mortified."
"How long?"
she breathed. 6 days, but the worst is past. Your leg is still very swollen and inflamed, Mevrouw Courtney."
She started.
"You use that name? Where did you learn that name?"
"I know that your name is Mevrouw Courtney, Santan Courtney, and that you were a survivor from the hospital ship Protea Castle."
"How? How do you know these things?"
"I was sent by your father-in-law to search for you."
"My father-in-law?
Colonel Courtney, and that woman, Anna Stock.
Anna? Anna is alive?
Santan reached out and seized his wrist. There is no doubt about that at all, Lothar laughed. She is very much alive.
That is the most wonderful news. I thought she was drowned.
Santan broke off as she realized that she was still holding his wrist. She let her hand fall to her side and sank back against the bolster.
Tell me, she whispered. Tell me everything. How is she? How did you know where to find me? Where is Anna now? When will I see her?
Lothar laughed again. His teeth were very white. So many questions. He drew the stool to her cot. Where shall I begin?
Begin with Anna. Tell me all about her.
He talked, and she listened, avidly, watching his face, asking another question as soon as one was answered, fighting off the weakness of her body to revel in the sound of his voice, in the intense pleasure of hearing glad tidings of the real world from which she had been so long excluded, of communicating with one of her own kind and looking on a white and civilized face again. The day was almost gone, the evening gloom filling her little shelter when Shasa let out a demanding shout, and Lothar broke off.
He's hungry.
I will feed him. If you will leave us a while, Mynheer.
No. Lothar shook his head. You have lost your milk.
Santan's head jerked as though the words were a blow in her face, and she stared at him while thoughts tumbled and crowded in her mind. Up to that moment, she had been so wrapped up in listening and questioning that she had not considered that there was no other woman in the camp, that for 6 days she had been entirely helpless, and that somebody had tended her, washed her and changed her, fed her and dressed her wounds. But his words, such an intimate subject, spoken of in direct fashion, brought all this home to her. And as she stared at him, she felt herself begin to blush with shame. Her cheeks flamed. Those long brown fingers of his must have touched her where only one other man had touched before. She felt her eyes smart as she realized what those yellow eyes of his must have looked upon. She felt herself burning up with embarrassment, and then, incredibly, with a hot and shameful excitement, so that she had difficulty breathing, and she lowered her eyes and turned her head away, so that he could not see her scarlet cheeks. Lothar seemed to be entirely unaware of her predicament.
Come on, soldier, let's show Mama our new trick.
He lifted Shasa and fed him with a spoon, and Shasa bounced on his hip and said,
Ham, ham,
as he saw each spoonful coming, and then hunched himself at it with mouth wide open.
He likes you, Santan said.
We are friends, Lothar admitted,
as he removed the heavy coating of gruel from Shasa's forehead and chin and ears with a damp cloth.
You are good with children,
Santan whispered, and saw the sudden biting pain reflected in the darkening gold of his eyes.
Once I had a son, he said,
and placed Shasa at her side, then picked up the spoon and empty bowl and went to the doorway.
Where is your son?
She called softly after him, and he paused in the opening, then turned slowly back to her.
My son is dead, he said softly.